You're listening to From the Pulpit by Sahlein. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider becoming our patron by donating at sahlein.org/support.
Our eighth Imam, Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha, salawatullahu salamu alayhi, had a particular antagonizer by the name of al-Jalludi. In history, this man was known as sort of a ruffian, a person who you might call a leg breaker, you know, that kind of person. He used to do the dirty work on behalf of the caliphs. And the caliphs wanted something done. They would call Jalludi and they would say, this is the person you need to terrorize. Before Ma'mun, Harun al-Rashid asked Jalludi to attack the house of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. He asked him to go and ransack the house. He said, go into the house and take everything out. I just want you to steal everything. I want you to take the jewelry off the women and children. I want you to take his belongings. It's yours. Take it. So he went. And of course he comes to the house. Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam says, what do you want? He says, I've got an order from Harun al-Rashid to take everything in the house. Let me in. Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam responded by saying, look, if that's your order and you're going to carry it out, there's nothing I can do. But you don't need to terrorize my family. If you want all the belongings, I will go in, I will collect the belongings, and I'll hand everything over to you. But there's no need for you to go into the house and disturb the family, terrorize my children. There's no need for this. Now, when you're standing in front of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, this is a reflection of Allah on earth. This is the manifestation of the Prophet on earth, right? When a holy soul like this talks to you, you can't help but melt just a little bit, right? And so he responded by agreeing to this plea from Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. Imam al-Ridha did as he promised. He went back into the house, told his family members, everything must go. That's it. They're waiting outside, everything. They packed up their jewelry, they packed up their belongings, they carried it out and gave it to him, and he left with it. Fine. Years later, Harun al-Rashid dies. After Harun is the caliph, Al-Amin. Al-Amin comes in, and Al-Amin is killed by Ma'mun al-Rashid. Ma'mun wanted Khilafat, killed his own brother for it, right? So eventually he becomes the caliph. Now what you might not realize is that not only did he have to kill his brother, as a tyrant tends to do, he has to wreak havoc on all his enemies as well. So what does he do? He now tells his army, gather up all those who are working for Al-Amin, his brother, the one that he deposed, gather up all those who are working for Al-Amin, bring them in, and we'll slaughter them, or we'll do whatever we want. So his army gathers up all the workers for Al-Amin and brings them into the palace. Now this is years later. Who is sitting inside the palace? Our eighth Imam, Al-Ridha alayhi salam. He's observing this revenge that Ma'mun is meting out against his enemies. As those captives are being brought into his palace, who does he see? Yes. The very one who attacked his house, who made him hand over all his belongings. Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam did not forget what happened on that day. Now, before I tell you the rest of the story, I want to go back to that question. Do you think that you'll be left alone to say that you believe and not be tested? O you who believe, why do you say that which you do not know. Or that famous saying, it is easier for you to fight for your values than it is to live up to your values. Now, you all know what would be the values of Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam. Living up to values in that moment is the hardest thing. Be honest with yourselves. How many of us would delight in seeing that man paraded in front of us? Right? How many of us would now, seeing him, and I'm number two, I'm now Wali al-Amr, I'm the number two of the Caliph, I can do whatever I want, I can put this man to death, I can abuse him, I can torture him, the power is in my hands. True? Technically, that was within the grasp of Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam. What do you think happened? The hadith says, Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam leans over and whispers something into the ear of Ma'mun al-Rashid. You know what he whispered? Free him for my sake. I will take him as a servant in my house. And he only whispered that. No one knows, other than when the hadith narrators explain it. No one knew what was being said in that moment. This tyrant, Al-Jalladu, I forget his name always because it's a strange name. He is sitting there with the rest of his bandits, all cuffed, and he sees Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam whisper something into the ear of Ma'mun. What does he think is being said? He thinks Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam is telling Ma'mun al-Rashid to kill him. So you know what he does? He calls out to Ma'mun al-Rashid and he says, whatever he has said to you, don't let him do it. Don't agree with him. Do the opposite. Ma'mun al-Rashid says, fine. He asked for you to be freed. But because you just demanded from me to do the opposite of what he has said, then I shall do it. And that was the end of him. Fine. But the story is very indicative of Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam's mercy, isn't it? That in the moment in which they are tested, a moment in which they have the potential of revenge in their hands, the moment in which you can imagine that they would want to be able to satisfy their own desire, actually, their godly characteristics come out the most in those moments. It is easier for them to have called upon all governments in history, be merciful to captors. Be merciful to your enemy. Look after your enemy. How many times Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam must have said that? Hundreds of times. But when that one opportunity to live his value was presented to him, Allah is asking him, do you think you'll be left alone to say that you believe, that you're going to call others, but when you are tested, that this is not going to be for you? No, you are going to be tested with these same things. The same thing happens in our own lives. All the values that we have, you will see how often you and I are tested in those moments with the very values that we claim to have and the ones that we have been trying to uphold in our lives. Think about it for yourself for a moment. What are the values that you've had most dear to you, that you've claimed, you've promoted? Have you noticed at times when you've been tested by those very same values to see whether you truly believe in them, truly uphold them or not? This is always going to be the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.